There's definitely an excitement in the air. Can you feel it?
It's Adar Bayes, like we said.
Not just Adar Bayes. This is it. This is the week. It. Yeah, it is upon us, basically. And I'm excited. And I'm usually not excited, but I'm excited this year.
Why are you excited?
I can't put my finger on it, but there's an excitement to it.
That's interesting. Let's talk about this a bit. Let's delve into you. No, I'm with you, by the way. I get anxiety, tremendous anxiety from perm.
Do you?
But it's not a riot because I get anxiety from going to the bathroom.
Right, like, anything.
You know, yeah, anything sets me off. No, but I get anxiety because, you know, there's a lot.
There's a lot to handle.
Shalachmanas, you know, you got to think of that. You got to think of the drinking and the suda and the thing.
There's a lot to do.
Body of Rav and this and that. There's a lot of...
Yeah, what do you mean? The biggest one is the matanis le'evyonim. You have to give out money.
Right. I have to go to the bank, get myself 1,000 singles.
So which, by the way, if you ever want to feel like a major gvir, right, just walk into any shul with like a stack
of singles.
They will come. They will just... crowd around you. Yes. You'll feel like Rechnitz at the Kaisel.
Yes, absolutely. So what do you got planned for Purim? Any big, you're excited. Anything special planned?
No big plans. It's the regular, but I don't know why I'm just excited this year.
Well, I'm a little bit excited, as you know, because it's the first year where I'm going to be in a full costume. I usually do, like I said, small things, and we did say that we're going to include a video of me in costume.
That's fine. I'm now in suspense.
Yes. And you'll remain that way for one more week.
Meanwhile, my daughter tells me she wants to be a French mime.
What?
I look at my wife. There must have been a twinkle in my eye. I was like, does she know that that means she cannot speak the entire Purim? Like, I don't think she knows.
You're like, we're going right now. We're going to do it right now.
But for real.
Where did she get that idea from?
I don't know where the idea came from, but I'm strongly in support of it. Because once she's in character, she can't break. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, once you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah, but I have a feeling she's going to break.
Listen, you don't know her. You don't know her. She's committed.
Well, good luck for you. I hope that works out for you.
I hope so. I so too.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And this year, we're doing something different for Purim. We're going to do a Kiddush Club costume contest.
I like it. You're going to be in it.
Am I?
You are. I mean, you obviously, being in costume, you are submission. You are submission number one.
Okay, I like it.
So yet another reason to join the WhatsApp group is you can participate in this costume contest, and we're going to pick a winner.
Yeah, we're going to pick a winner.
And spoiler alert, it's probably not you.
It's probably me. I'm picking the winner. It's going to be me.
I think I'm in charge. That's it. You have Nagias.
Right, it's true. Okay, so make sure you join the WhatsApp. Send us, or you could actually email it to us also, hawk@kiddushclubpodcast.com. You could email us your pictures also.
The one thing I'll say that I don't like about Purim is getting homemade hamantaschen.
Okay.
How come they never taste like the ones you get from the bakery?
I don't know where you're coming from. I don't like bakery hamantaschen. I like homemade.
Okay. So first of all, let's give an introduction to what hamantaschen is supposed to be. What do you fill it with?
Well, we've talked about this every year on this podcast.
But I'm asking you, what do we fill a hamantaschen with?
So I already said my favorite is apricot.
I'm not asking you flavors. I'm asking you what is it filled with.
Jelly.
Okay, that's incorrect.
Well,
hamantaschen are supposed to be filled with fruit butter.
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
No, it is not.
Butter is the same thing.
It is not the same thing.
What's the difference?
That's why when you get this homemade hamantaschen made with sugar cookie dough, what? Filled up with like Smucker's jam?
Excellent. Yes, keep
talking. No, this is
mouth-watering.
It's not the tradition. It's supposed to be shortbread. And a lot of women will get upset, but this is what it is. Hamantaschen are shortbread cookies filled with fruit butter. That's what it is. Apricot butter, prune butter,
yes.
Raspberry butter.
I can't believe you said prune butter.
It is what it is.
Even though we all accepted that we don't like it.
Listen, there are diehard prune people out there. You can't ignore them.
They're not listening to this cast. They are. Turn us off.
You can't ignore them. They're there. But when you get this homemade hamantaschen, what's the usual flavor you get?
So I think it's probably apricot. I mean, that is my personal favorite.
Okay, you'll be right, because most of the time you can find apricot butter on the store shelves.
Okay.
And that's why it throws you off. The sugar cookie throws you off, and you don't realize that you're having a sugar cookie because the apricot butter is there. So it's like, oh, this tastes like a hamantaschen, and you're not registering that it's not shortbread. Do you understand why this confusion happens? You very rarely...
Let me explain something to you.
Go ahead.
If you give me right now a piece of bread with apricot butter, I'll be just as happy.
I understand, but that's...
Then if you throw some more sugar on it, I'm even more happy.
Yes,
then but... you tell me, shortbread? Yeah, super happy.
Okay, I'm just saying to you that homemade hamantaschen are not where it's at. And you know how I know? Because Reisman's, Oberlander's, Stern's, Green's, all of them, they taste one way. And homemade hamantaschen tastes completely different if you ignore the almond, the apricot butter.
But which is better?
No.
You want to say it's Nishkan hamantaschen.
Right.
I understand.
Good.
But if you were going to be trapped on an island for a year and you had to pick, you're picking the Reisman's hamantaschen or you're picking the homemade?
Reisman's all day, every day, all my
life.
No,
you're crazy.
I disagree. By the way, I recently saw like a Green's one that caught my eye because the filling was so generous.
Mm.
I was like, I'm taking those.
Yeah. Why don't they put more filling, by the way? All we all want.
Yes. It's not true. Filling. It's not true. There are people that will just eat the cookie around.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah. There's somebody in my home that does that.
No, that's not.
That's why we get along.
Your wife? Is it your wife?
No, it's one of my kids. That's why we get along. She eats the sides and I just take the middle. And it's like we were born to be together.
Yeah. Well, I have one of my kids who only, he'll stick his tongue right in the jelly and he'll suck out the jelly.
And then just leave the cookie the pack.
Yes.
Yeah. So the problem is that the raspberry, there's no raspberry butter. I feel like it's a bakery secret. Like they take a blood oath or something because you can't find.
No, you could get jelly. I mean,
you're saying
it's not butter. It's jelly.
Right. I don't need the Smucker's, Polaner, or Lieber's or whatever jelly you're putting into that cookie. I don't need it. That's not what a hamantaschen is.
What if you had to choose between homemade hamantaschen or Reisman's poppy hamantaschen?
No, never.
Okay.
Never poppy.
That was a trick question.
I cannot do. We would have to split if I like poppy, and I get that.
That was it.
I get that.
It was a total test. Okay, you passed.
Thank goodness.
And by the way, this Purim, we all want to be Yaitza, and we're all going to be drinking. And of course, we're telling all of our listeners to drink responsibly. But as much as you drink, that next morning, nobody likes that feeling of waking up and feeling...
Hangover Monday.
Exactly. Exactly. So traditionally, there's not much you could do, but now Hydra Health IV... They have a solution. And what they do is, and this is becoming more and more popular. I personally haven't tried it. Have you tried it yet?
No, but I've seen people do it and they swear by it.
Yeah, same. And by the way, it's not just for hangovers. Hydra Health IV, they do beauty drips. They do detox drips. They do energy drips. They do GI drips. They do hydration drips, immunity drips. There's a drip for everything. Prenatal drips even. So whatever is ailing you, or if you just want to feel great and look great, get an IV drip. It's the easiest way to get it done. And the best way to do it is with Hydra Health IV at HydraHealthIV.com. And you can call them or text them at 888-595-9337. Use KC15 for 15% off. And by the way, the best part of this whole entire IV drip is that they come to you. You don't even have to go anywhere in the comfort of your own home. They will come to you. You make an appointment. They come. They handle everything A to Z. If IVs are not your thing for whatever reason, if you're looking to lose weight and you've been hearing all about Ozempic and Mounjaro and all the rest of them, they can take care of that for you as well. So if you've been on the fence and saying, you know what, maybe I need to lose weight, but I don't know how to go about doing it. Where do I get Ozempic from? Hydra Health IV is your answer. They also offer vitamin booster shots. So if everything's going great, you just want to make sure you continue staying in the maximum health that you can, the best health that you can. They'll give you vitamin booster shots as well. And again, they come to you. So make sure you check them out, HydraHealthIV.com. The link is going to be in the show notes. Of course, don't forget, KC15 will give you 15% off. And if you call them, make sure to mention that Kiddush Club sent you so that you get the discount. Okay, let's do, we have a couple of shout outs. Let's get to some of these shout outs. First of all, the truth, we can't do this shout out without actually reading a little bit from the message because it's just so great. And the message says, hi, can you do a shout out for one of your biggest, hugest fans? When you ask us that way, yes, we can.
Oh, I'll absolutely vouch for Yossi Freundlich. He's a UK listener. Big mazel tov. He moved into a new house and had a beautiful baby boy this past month of Shabbos.
Wow, mazel tov.
Mazel tov, Yossi.
One second, did you see the baby?
I did not.
And yet you know it was beautiful.
That's part of the shout out.
Okay, fine. You lie. You wouldn't shout out. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's a baby. Like, how far off babies could it be? Fine. Exactly.
And since you mentioned the UK, by the way, so we got we actually put out a call last episode asking for people to tell us what's going on in London. Is it as bad as the newspapers say? So we got some feedback. I'm going to read to you just from one of them, and this is going to be a follow-up. Thank you for everybody who submitted. So this person writes, we don't have a name, so it says, London Jewish areas like Golders Green are safe. I would assume that the London areas that are no-go are the central parts where many protests are being held. At this point, the central areas of all main cities in the UK are a no-go since they are full of modern progressive youth who are supporting the Palestinian cause. So we asked a question, we got an answer. Thank you. So it sounds like, you know, in the communities, the Jewish communities are generally, they're still feeling relatively safe. In the big cities, people are starting to feel a little uncomfortable.
Right. Sounds like downtown you want to stay away from.
Right. Exactly. Also, we have a shout out in Brooklyn to Yom Tov Kerry. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Also, we got a great message from Srilly from Lakewood, who says he was talking about the bit we did on the taste test of the Bermayim.
Seltzer.
And I just want to read to you what he said. He said, you failed to mention the size of the bubbles in the Bear Mime seltzer. And he's right. We did. We did mention that it looked like a boiling cauldron.
All I got was a cup.
But no, it did definitely have the big bubbles. So he continues writing, my theory is that they are above the legal amount allowed.
Yeah, carbonation to the max.
And then he writes, and perhaps mikvah water.
You can never know what's in these.
We don't write it, you know? This is what you guys sent to us, and we appreciate it. And by the way, we're talking about Purim, we're talking about helping people, we're talking about helping needy people. Well, I know one place that you can help. I don't know how needy the cause.
Is this a coffee pitch?
This is a coffee pitch. BuyMeACoffee.com/Kiddush Club.
Yeah, you're not Yaitse Matanis Lidyayim.
You're not Yaitse anything.
But well, maybe you are even. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe. Why not?
No, I don't think so. No, fine. Ask your LOR.
But if you're enjoying the podcast, we love getting the feedback and we love hearing from you guys and we appreciate it so much. And we also need your help and we need your support to keep the podcast going. Go to our website, KiddushClubPodcast.com. Click on Buy Me a Coffee. Go direct. BuyMeACoffee.com/Kiddush Club. Buy us 1, 2, 100. We'll take whatever you got.
What's the record? The record's still 50.
I think so.
All right.
But wait, are you Yaitze Shalachmanis if you buy us a coffee?
It's only, you need 2 foods.
Oh, right.
Sorry, bro.
What if they buy us 2 coffees?
It can't be the same food. It's got to be 2
different.
I think
it could be the same food.
It cannot.
I think it can.
You cannot buy the same 2 foods. You can't give 2 pastrami sandwiches.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Come on, these are basics.
If you tell them that they could do 2 and be Yaitze, we'll get more coffee.
It's not worth the $5.
Right, it's true.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, why throw away everything? Go to exactly. Right,
go straight
for $5.
To Gehenna for $5. Not worth it. I'm with you. You are correct. Okay. Are we ready to move on to the news?
Let's do the news.
Okay. So there was a lot going on.
Can we just shout out Reb Zvi Kushelevsky or not? He had a baby boy, 88 years old. Take it or don't.
Okay. Well, you just did it.
I think it's remarkable.
It is remarkable. I feel like it was last week's news. That's why I didn't want to bring it up. But it
bears mentioning.
And he did have the bris. You know, the bris was
this week.
Right. Okay. Good point. And it does bear mentioning. I think it's a beautiful thing.
I think it's almost like a miracle.
Yeah.
At 88 years old, he's strolling a duna with his own son.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing. It's really beautiful.
It's like an Avraham Avinu story.
My wife actually, you know, her first reaction was, his wife must be a very holy person.
Of course. Well, he's a holy person. I imagine that, you know, they're a holy couple.
Right, right. But she was so zoned in on that. She's like, I would love to get a bracha from this woman. You know, she must be a tremendously. And I said, you know, that's a good point. You know, everybody's talking about him, but his wife must be a very holy person.
Yeah, there's no question.
Okay, so Israel. Let's give the update on what's going on with Israel. So first of all, I mean, we can't move on without talking about the speech on the Senate floor by Chuck Schumer.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. He has put himself in coalition with far-right extremists like Minister Smotrich and Ben-Gavir. And as a result, he has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah. Prime Minister Netanyahu has also weakened Israel's political and moral fabric through his attempts to co-opt the judiciary. And he has shown zero interest in doing the courageous and visionary work required to pave the way for peace even before this present conflict. As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past.
So as soon as I heard this, it was like, what a chutzpah.
Right.
Like,
blood
who,
boiling.
Who
blood
are
boiling.
You? Right. Who are you? To tell a democracy that they need to have elections? They know what they're doing. Like, they don't need Chuck Schumer
telling them what to do.
Right.
No, but even more than that, isn't America supposed to be the beacon of democracy for the world? Like, out of all the countries in the world that aren't democracies, you decided to pick an ally, A, B, a democracy, C, in the Middle East where there are no democracies, and tell them, oh, you need to have a regime change, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. That's basically what it sounded like. It sounded like a threat. If you don't get rid of Netanyahu, how is that? How? What are we talking about here? This is not Russia. I mean, come on.
Yeah, a lot of people very upset at Chuck Schumer, except then I saw David Greenfield tweeted out that Chuck Schumer has a record of 40 years supporting Israel. And I think he was kind of saying it as a warning to the other Republicans. Like, you are not the same as this man. Like, you're jumping on the Chuck Schumer bandwagon because he's talking against Israel. You're not the same as him.
Okay, but it's worth pointing out that David Greenfield himself is Democrat. He's a former Democratic councilman, I believe. And so it is, you know, worth pointing that out. You know, they're both members of the same party. That's first of all. Second of all, the only way I could be Malamed Zchus to him is to say the following, and this is something that Ben Shapiro said, so I'm going to borrow from him. He said that the Biden, because there's so much disunity in the Democrat Party revolving around Israel, and Biden has to kind of juggle that, he's been very supportive, but at the same time, he's angering a lot of his base. So in order to find this middle ground, what he's doing is he's vilifying Netanyahu and saying, I'm not anti-Israel, I'm anti-Netanyahu. So he can bash Israel and Netanyahu and still support Israel behind the scenes and make everybody happy.
So you're saying it's his way of walking the tightrope.
Right. And maybe Schumer was just helping that. You know, he obviously wants to help Biden get reelected. And so he's helping Biden with that strategy. But the problem with that is the way he spoke, there's better ways to do it. Because even some of the things he said where he's repeating that ridiculous notion that Israel is not doing enough to prevent civilian casualties. Based on what? What are you basing it on? What are any of them basing it on? Just to give one little piece of food for thought, right? I think they said, how many rockets were fired into Israel from Gaza?
I don't have a number.
Thousands, right?
Yeah, tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands. Let's say it's 10,000. I forget the actual number. I'm not going to do a fact check because you'll see it's not Nagaya. Let's say it's 10,000. We know that at least 10% of them fail. Right? Now, you remember the hospital, the rocket that they launched that hit the hospital, right?
Yes,
that they blamed
on Israel. The parking lot. It didn't hit the hospital, near the hospital.
Right. And they claimed how many people died from that? 500.
Right. I remember that number, 500.
Okay. 500 people from their own rocket. So if there's 10,000 rockets, 10% of them fail. That's 1,000 rockets that are launched from Gaza that fall in Gaza. And if not 500 people, let's say it's 10 people, that's 10,000 innocent people right there. So what are you talking about?
That's sound logic. It's a shame that there's nobody that hears it.
But this is, I understand that the Hamas sympathizers don't hear it. This is the Senate majority leader, the highest ranking Jewish politician in history.
Yeah, I don't think his speech was good, but I think that they were making Netanyahu a sacrificial lamb.
Yes.
They're saying he has no future in Israel after this. What's the difference if we beat down on him?
Well, there is a difference. You know why? Because they have a war cabinet right now, and the war cabinet includes people from every side of the political aisle, and they're all in agreement. And if you poll the you know what? I'm not even going to say it. Netanyahu said it. He was interviewed. I'll play it for you. Listen to it, Netanyahu, in his own words.
Let's talk about what happened here in the U.S. this week. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer gave a pivotal speech and said, you have lost your way, and called you an obstacle to peace. Take a listen.
The Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. And I believe that holding a new election once the war starts to wind down would give Israelis an opportunity to express their vision for the post-war future.
Chuck Schumer is the highest-ranking Jewish elected official here in America, a staunch supporter of Israel. What's your response?
I think what he said is totally inappropriate. It's inappropriate for to go to a sister democracy and try to replace the elected leadership there. That's something that Israel, the Israeli public, does on its own. And we're not a banana republic. I think the only government that we should be working on to bring down now is the terrorist tyranny in Gaza, the Hamas tyranny that murdered over 1,000 Israelis, including some dozens of Americans, and is holding Americans and Israelis hostage. That's what we should be focused on. And as far as what Senator Schumer said, the majority of Israelis support our governments. 82% of Americans support Israel instead of Hamas, but the majority of Israelis support the policies that we're leading. Go into Rafah, destroy the remaining Hamas terrorist battalion, make sure that we don't put into Gaza, instead of Hamas, the Palestinian Authority that educates their children towards terrorism and the annihilation of Israel, and also an enormous majority here, including 99 Knesset members to 9, oppose the idea of ramming down a Palestinian state down our throats.
I want to get to,
you know,
some
the majority of Israelis. This is a wake-up call to Senator Schumer. The majority of Israelis support the policies of my government. Oh. It's not a fringe government. It represents the policies supported by the majority of the people. If Senator Schumer opposes these policies, he's not opposing me. He's opposing the people of Israel.
Now, it's hard to argue with what he's saying.
Exactly.
Like, even if Chuck Schumer is correct, which he's not, but even if he is, it's not the time.
Exactly. It's the wrong time. They're still in the middle of the war.
But on his side, what Chuck Schumer's thinking is there's no difference. There is just no difference.
But there is. But there is. Look, as an example, Israel now said that they're making the 24th of Tishrei. It's going to be now a remembrance day for what happened on October 7th.
Okay.
So this year, actually, they're going to mark it on October 7th also.
Which is going to be Simchas Torah.
No. So October 7th this of 2024, they're going to remember it on October 7th because the world has, you know, it's created secondary meaning October 7th.
Are you saying it's going to be on actual October 7th, yes, not on the 24th of Tishrei?
Right. Then following years, and I think this year as well, it's going to be on the 24th of Tishrei after Sukkot is over.
Okay.
And this is, right, so this is the only other, since the founding of the State of Israel, this is the only other major day that was ever created in remembrance, right? You have the Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Yes.
And then you have Yom HaZikaron, which is similar to our Veterans Day or our
Memorial Day,
thank you. And now they're making another day. This was the most tragic event in Israel's history that was outside of an actual war, right? To get up as the highest ranking Jewish person to get on the Senate floor and say this to the world?
You know what this tells me? That Chuck Schumer is a politician first and a Jew second.
I agree. And for all of his talk about how I'm Schumer, I'm a Scheimer, do me a favor. Do me a favor.
Yeah, with Scheimers like this, who needs enemies?
Exactly. Exactly. In other news, the IDF had a major raid on the Shifa Hospital. Was that the one with a rocket, the errant rocket? I think it was Shifa Hospital, wasn't it?
Yeah, Al-Shifa Hospital.
Right. So they had a major raid. They say that they arrested over 80 terrorists. So that's good.
Big plus.
And what I want to know is, hey, Chuck Schumer, what are 80 terrorists doing shooting from hospitals?
He doesn't care. Don't you understand?
Do you see what I'm saying? It's all sheker.
It's the Democratic agenda. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's sad. So bottom line, it's all sheker. And the reality doesn't matter. The Biden administration is going to continue on this path, it seems. And, you know, they're still dropping the aid, still happening. It's interesting, and we'll include this in the WhatsApp group. There was a Palestinian guy who did a unboxing of one of these packages. And
in typical internet fashion.
Yeah, in typical internet fashion. And I'm going to play a little bit for you just because the bottom line is it's pretty long, this clip. We'll include it in the WhatsApp. Obviously, he's making fun of it. He's saying it's horrible. He's saying it's worse than having nothing. Because what they're dropping is, you know, MREs, military rations, that are military ready-to-eat rations, right? These are for soldiers who are in the field. That's what they're dropping on them. So, you know, they're expecting
shawarma.
Right. And instead they're getting these MRE things with like saltine crackers and peanut butter.
Ready to eat. It's like something you'd find like in a bunker.
Right.
Right? It's emergency food.
Exactly. Exactly. So
they don't want any of it. They're like, well, this is not an emergency. This big. There is no big emergency.
To eat this. So yeah, that's basically what he says. I mean, I'll play you a little bit of it, but what's funny to me is how he speaks, I mean, relatively good English, but when he reads the titles of what the foods are and with his accent, I just want you to hear this one particular part.
And then, oh, wow, gum. Wallah balhum fay, guraji. What's this? Energy bar. This is the most thing I'm excited to have. French vanilla. Wow.
Voila, we got the French vanilla.
French vanilla.
Well, what's his take on the whole thing at the end?
He basically says this is worse than nothing.
Really?
Yeah, that's basically his take, yeah.
So complaining about food from the
free
sky.
Food, yeah, free food from the sky is complaining. Yeah.
No, it's funny because I saw a tweet that was something similar that said, complaining about food from the sky. We really are cousins.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Nicely I don't remember. If I come across it, I will put a screenshot in the WhatsApp group.
Excellent. So also coming out of Israel, this was crazy because just because we don't see, you know, sometimes when you see videos and you're like, well, this looks like I'm watching like a movie or something. This is a video where you see basically a terrorist getting apprehended at a falafel stand. He's running the falafel stand. I mean, you're laughing. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
I mean, I have to see it. Can you please play it?
Okay, here it is. So what you see in the video is a bunch of people waiting patiently to get falafel from a stand when, you know, two guys, one guy pulls out a gun, another guy jumps up, grabs him, and, you know, everybody's putting their hands up. And
because right, clearly the police have arrived or some form of government.
Undercover, yes. Right? Undercover guys. But the thing I couldn't look away from, and you got to see the video to appreciate it, is so as they're trying to get him, you know, obviously there's some pushing and shoving. And this falafel stand starts moving, and then the bowl that has the falafel oil in it, or the pot, you know, it almost falls.
Yeah, it's disturbed.
It starts shaking, and you see the guy behind the counter, he's trying to keep his hands up, but he wants to save that falafel.
This is priority number one.
Yes.
For voila, we can lose the falafel, please. This is the best bash I ever made. I don't care, take Abdullah, but just leave this falafel, please.
That's really what's going on.
Yeah, but you can see it.
He put his hands down, right? If someone has a gun pointed, you don't put your hands down.
No, his hands were up, and then he's like, he keeps like reflexively going for the falafel.
And he does, he actually stops it. He steadies it.
Right.
You can't do that if someone has a gun pointed.
Monsieur Snefesh is what it is.
Or the falafel. So I thought that was interesting. And speaking of terrorists, an illegal immigrant from Lebanon was caught at our own border. He admitted that he's from Hezbollah and that he's a terrorist hoping to make a bomb, and he was headed for New York.
Yeah, that's here.
That's here.
Yeah, that is here.
Does that make you feel good? So this is, it actually has his name. So I'll say it. Basil Ibadi, 22. Was caught by the U.S. Border Patrol near El Paso, Texas. And when they asked him what he was doing in the U.S., he said, I'm going to try to make a bomb. Which is interesting answer.
You know what? That's his strong suit, honesty. You know? Over here, honesty is the best policy.
So, yeah. Maybe Schumer should focus on his own border and the crisis at the border instead of attacking Israel. Okay, that's enough about Schumer, enough about Israel. Let's move on for a minute, okay?
Go ahead.
We got some angry responses from some of our listeners about the amount of airline coverage we've been having.
Yeah, we do have to mention that air travel is still the safest way to travel.
Yes, and it's not our fault. If four times in 1 week United planes have issues, we have to cover it.
Yeah,
it
needs to be covered. But also keep in mind that it's safer than any other mode of travel, right? It is safer than driving in a car.
Yes.
Clearly.
But we're not going to talk about airlines this week, but we do have to mention the death of the Boeing whistleblower. That was big news.
Yeah, that happened last week.
Yes.
As we finished recording, I got an alert to
it
the
It was
phone.
Crazy. That's why we have to mention it. I'll just read two points about this guy. From 2010, he was employed as a quality manager at the North Charleston plant. The facility builds, guess what? The 787 Dreamliner. In 2019, Mr. Barnett told the BBC that under pressure, workers had been deliberately fitting substandard parts to aircraft on the production line. He also said he uncovered serious problems with oxygen systems, which could mean one in four breathing masks would not work in an emergency. But that's not the craziest part of the story. The craziest part is a close family friend of this guy said that before he was killed, he had said, if anything happens to me, just know it's not suicide.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're claiming that he died by suicide.
Can it be more clear than that?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, this foul play, if I've ever seen foul play, this is it.
Are you still saying it's the safest way to travel?
Well, it's not the safest job to have. That's okay. Clear.
Well, good point. The only thing more dangerous than that is saying anything bad about the Clintons, right? We all know where that leads.
But wait, so there's a reason why all these things are happening on Boeing aircraft. They're pushing the envelope for profits.
According to him, he might have been lying. He might have been wrong. But there was an article that came out in the New York Times, you know, after what happened with Alaska Air, which we covered, where the FAA did an audit of the 737 MAX production, and the company failed 33 of 89 audits during this examination. That should give you pause.
Yeah, that's not comforting because...
I wasn't trying to comfort you.
Yeah, it's just important to realize that all this is a Boeing problem, not an aircraft problem.
Except that 50% of all the aircraft are Boeing.
Yeah, that is an issue.
That's kind of a small little...
Yeah. I feel like the FAA should just like order every single Boeing plane just inspected. Like, let's just check it out.
You know what that would do to travel? I mean, you know what that would do to the economy? I mean, it's insane. You can't do that.
But something has to happen to these people. Like, the Boeing people are just ignoring safety precautions and just doing it for the profits.
I hear where you're coming from. That's why I'm not looking to travel. But if you do buy us a bunch of coffees, we will go to Israel, because that's halal. Oh, but those are Boeings also.
Right. Those are probably Boeings. Yeah, maybe we should, like, I don't know. What's?
I have to think LOL checks. Come on.
Maybe we go private.
Oh, depends how many coffees.
It's going to need a lot of coffees.
Need a lot of coffees.
Yeah.
A lot of coffees. And only because we're talking about planes. We weren't going to do any planes on this episode, but because I had to mention that was important. I will say there was an article in the New York Post this week about two women in New Zealand who had to get off a plane because they were too heavy. Well, at least that's what they say. And they say that the flight attendant yelled at them, saying, you should have bought four seats for the two of you instead of two. And that bothered me.
Well, you're taking up their cause or what?
I'm taking it personally, right?
Yeah, I guess you are.
I mean, I have a hard time with that.
Well,
bad enough that the person, you know, they can't be comfortable in the seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she claims that the stewardess came to her while the plane was taxiing.
Here's the question. Are they sitting next to each other?
No.
Okay, because that's important to know.
The plane was taxiing and her armrest was up, I'm assuming because it's hard to fit, right? And so the stewardess came and started pushing the armrest down, and she said she felt a sharp pain. It was hitting her body, right? And the flight attendant said, you know, we can't take off. The captain can't take off with the armrest up. Now, why can't the captain take off with an armrest up? Are you kidding me? We've both flown with armrests up, right, during takeoff and landing. So the flight attendant clearly had like an anti-
A little bias.
Yeah,
a little obesity bias.
Obesity bias, exactly. And then, you know, they turned the plane around, and they told them, you should have bought four seats.
And they went back home? Like, what happened? They
turned the plane around. They took them both off. Then the plane turned back around and took off.
That's so mean.
Isn't that mean?
It is mean.
Because
figure it out. That's your job as a stewardess.
Exactly.
To figure stuff out. Not every single flight's going to go perfect. Everything, you know, every single time you get on an airplane, there's going to be another situation. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
Agreed. Not fair.
Agreed. Okay, let's move on. We'll move on to Trump for a minute.
Do it.
Okay, so this was big news. So Trump, I'm sure you saw the headlines. Everybody's talking about how Trump said if he's not elected, there's going to be a bloodbath. You saw that, right?
I sure did.
Okay, I'm going to play you the clip that everybody's playing first, and here it is.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
So that's what he said. And that's the soundbite that everybody's been playing.
And if I'm an unsuspecting American, I would say, he's really calling for violence.
Yeah, that's insane.
I'm uncomfortable with that.
Very uncomfortable. But here's the thing. If you listen to the entire clip, this whole thing is a made-up controversy. Let me play you the rest of the clip, and you make your own decision.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine.
What a black eye for mainstream media.
Can you believe it?
It's such a boucher. There's no other word.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you don't have to be a fan of Trump to appreciate the fact that this is a made up scandal by the media and that all the politicians are repeating Nancy Pelosi and on and on and on about how Trump is saying it's going to be a bloodbath. Elect me, otherwise it's going to be a bloodbath. It's not what he said. He said that if he gets elected, he's going to shut down China's car imports. And if you don't elect him, Biden, by implication, is going to allow these cars to come in and it's going to be a bloodbath for the economy.
Right. A financial bloodbath.
Exactly.
Right. I'm actually embarrassed of this.
What do you mean?
I'm embarrassed that the media is reporting it that way. Like the world is watching. Like, what do you think is?
I'll tell you what they think. They get away with it. They did this to him the first time. They take sound bites of things he says. It's just like when they claim that Trump called illegal aliens murderers and rapists, or when he called Mexicans murderers and rapists. It's not true. What he said was that the bad ones from Mexico come. The criminals come to do more crime, but he loves Mexican people and he praised the Mexican people. So they'll take this soundbite now and they'll amplify it. And again, you don't have to like Trump, but it's just incorrect.
Right. You just have to be like minimally intelligent to see through this facade and through this smokescreen that the media wants you to fall into.
Exactly. And also in Trump news, I mean, this is major. So, you know, he lost that, you know, the New York case. And we covered that he posted bond, right? He had to post a $450 million bond in order to appeal. So we were reporting it at the time. It said that he had done that. But now new news has come out that he has not been able to get the bond for $450 million and that Letitia James, Attorney General of New York, is saying that they're going to begin seizing his assets.
Well, the truth is, if you know how bail works, you need to go to a bail company,
right,
and secure $450 million. There are no bail companies that are that big.
Well, no, there are. There are companies that they did approach. His lawyers say they went to 30 companies. And you have to secure it with something, right? But that's what I don't get. He does have assets that should be able to secure that kind of bond.
I don't think anybody wants to lay out that kind of commitment.
Right.
It's a big number. I mean, it's almost $500 million.
Right.
Right. If he defaults in any way, shape, or form, whoever laid their name out is done.
Yeah.
Like, why risk it?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. In Georgia, where Fannie Willis, the district attorney who had given, who hired someone that she was in a relationship with and gave $600,000 to him to be a special prosecutor, and they turned out they were traveling, et cetera, et cetera. So the judge came back and said that the case can only continue if either Fannie Willis steps down or the special prosecutor steps down. One of them must step down. So that in and of itself is a win for Trump, not only because of that,
but it shows that they were up to no good.
Exactly. And so even if the case continues and he gets convicted,
they're always going to have that to rely on.
No, they're
going to
appeal on that and they're going to win.
Right.
Because it's such a strong case for appeal. And while we're on the topic of elections, by the way, big win in Russia. Big, shocking
win. It's a huge win. It's no small thing. It's a huge win.
I would like for you to read for our audience. I mean, look at the numbers that Putin got against his...
Unprecedented numbers, even for him.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's tremendous.
I mean, I'm sure these are real.
He's brave, strong leader. Everybody really.
He won with 87% of the vote. No other candidate broke 5% of the vote.
It's absurd.
Why are we making fun?
Yeah, I know.
Are we crazy?
I'm gonna have to watch my back now.
Yeah.
Like, no interest. But here's the thing. The Kremlin screens these opponents.
Yes.
Right? It's almost comical. Like, yeah. Let's say you're...
Navalny was the only one who possibly could have given him a run for his money.
No, there were others. There were others that could have given him a run, but there was too much excitement around them. So the Kremlin's like, no, you cannot run. You're not approved. But here's
insane.
The thing. Let's say you work in the Kremlin. Let's say you're Putin. Let's just say that for a second. Do you look at these numbers and be like, guys, can we make it a little more believable? Like, guys, like, this is not happening. Like, the world is looking at this.
Oh, I hear. Let me answer. You ready?
Go.
That's the godless of Putin, is because he's saying, I'm going to put it at 87. I want to see anyone say anything. See if I care. I don't even care that you all know it's fake.
Right. You all know it's fixed.
Right.
And I'm making sure you know.
Right.
And there's nothing any questions? You could
do. Right. Exactly. Mic drop.
Right.
Exactly. And also in elections, well, there's not elections. Do you know what's going on in Haiti?
I don't.
So, I mean, it's crazy because Haiti's basically has, Haiti has devolved into like anarchy right now.
Well, no one's heard from them since the earthquake. That's the
right.
truth.
Right. I mean, Haiti's a really difficult country. I mean, I don't know how to put it, but it's basically a third world country. And now there's a former policeman in Haiti who, I mean, they call him a police officer turned gangster, and he's basically trying to take control. He orchestrated a massive prison break where thousands and thousands of people got out. And I mean, you can't make this up. This guy's name is Barbecue.
What do you mean? His name is Barbecue?
You look at the news. It's Barbecue. I mean, that's his nickname. His name is Jimmy Cherizier, and his nickname is Barbecue. So Barbecue is now in control of Haiti, basically. And by the way, how did he get the name Barbecue? So he says it's because his mother operated a fried chicken stand.
Mm.
But everyone else says, no, that's not why. It's because you orchestrated a lot of, very bad things that left people burned. Yeah,
oy.
Exactly.
So he's like Putin.
Yes, exactly. They're birds of a feather, these guys. But he's, and he's also like Putin in that his name's Barbecue.
Well, speaking of Putin, by the way, did you see that he gifted a limousine to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, who took it out for a spin? It's like it was the inaugural ride in the limousine that was gifted to him from Putin. I mean, these people are in cahoots.
Oh, absolutely. Another, I mean.
Like, in case you wondered where Putin stood.
Can we take a moment to just laugh at this image of Kim Jong-un in the leather jacket?
He looks like he walked out of the 90s.
He does. You know, I did we cover this? You know that in North Korea, you can only get an approved haircut. Every person in the country. Did you know that?
No.
You didn't know this?
Please tell me
about it. I
really
thought we covered it. I don't know why I always think we covered these things. I mean, everything in North Korea is controlled, right? So every single person in North Korea must always keep their hair cut. And they have a choice of very few hairstyles. Women have slightly more, but there's only a handful of choices and you must get your hair cut that way.
Wait,
there's 28 in total.
So only Supreme Leader can have slick back hair. Is that the rule?
It's very possible. I mean, every single thing is controlled in North Korea. Everything is controlled.
Maybe that's how they like it. Like, maybe the population's like, yes, control me. Like, could you imagine?
There's no competition, right?
No, not forget that. Imagine not having to stress about a haircut.
Right.
You have no stress about anything.
Right.
There's only 28 styles.
Right. It's a good point.
Right?
It's a good point.
I mean, everything is controlled. What should we eat? What should we watch? Where should we go? Could you imagine? Those Sundays are a dream.
Are you thinking of going to North Korea?
But you know what? If I don't have to think about what to do, Chol HaMoed.
They're also starving, right? They're eating dogs because they're eating dogs off the street. They are starving.
Okay, maybe not the best.
Chol HaMoed, right? Exactly.
Maybe not the best place to live.
In other news, this one coming out of Japan. So a Japanese zoo was conducting a safety training for what would happen if a tiger were to get loose from the zoo.
Very reasonable, by the
way.
Very
reasonable, right? Okay. I mean, that makes me happy to know that someone cares.
I would attend, actually.
Exactly. So they actually videoed it, and they were proud of it. But the response that they got on Twitter, I don't think they were expecting what the response would be, especially because the tiger in the training was a person in a tiger suit.
Well, isn't that the safest way to do it, though?
Here he is. Here he is. And you could see the guy. I mean, he took it very seriously. He's acting like a tiger. And you see the workers with the nets getting ready to get him. And I was just thinking, like, how did this guy get chosen for that part? You know, like, did he want this part or was this a punishment? Like, what was going on in Japan? How did he become the Japanese tiger stand-in?
I don't know how he did, but I want to know if he's up for an Oscar.
He did great.
Did he? I'm not convinced.
He did pretty good.
I'm not convinced.
You see how he's crouched?
I think the people that are reacting did much better than him.
No, but I mean, it looks like they tased him.
They have to believe that he's a tiger. They're doing way better. I would nominate them for an Oscar way before him.
Interesting.
Because he doesn't have moves. He doesn't have tiger moves.
Very
weak.
The way he was going back and forth, like he was
you
like
a boxer. You can do better.
I appreciate that.
In fact, if I had to guess, I would think that this is probably a punishment for something.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Right? Like, oh, you jaywalker!
And then he's probably like, no, I'm sorry. And then they're like,
we make you a tiger for training.
That does seem likely.
But to be honest, that costume leaves a lot to be desired.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, it's just a head. It's basically just a head, like a bonnet.
And a white sweatshirt. Like a white sweatshirt.
And jeans.
And jeans.
Yeah, this is not an Oscar-worthy performance.
In other animal news, by the way, and this was sent to us from longtime listener Amir, scientists say they're very close to reviving the woolly mammoth.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. Here's my question.
It's in the Washington Post.
Why do we want a woolly mammoth?
I don't know.
Like, I get it. It's cool.
It's right? Very cool.
Until he wreaks havoc. Like, these things were tremendous. Like, how are we budgeting to keep them, like, contained?
I mean, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, we know that Hollywood has made movies about this topic of, like, them bringing back dinosaurs.
Yeah, personally, I would rather see a dinosaur than a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, I would too, but you know what I mean? What if one of these gets out?
But wait, do they have enough? Like, there are dinosaur fossils. Is that enough to make, like, whatever their process is a fossil enough to recreate?
Usually not. Woolly mammoths are not that old, and they're close enough to elephants that they can actually... That's how they do it, by the way. They're basically going to...
Modify an elephant?
Exactly.
Pshkayach.
But it could be very cool. You wouldn't want to go see... If there was a woolly mammoth and you could go see it, you wouldn't go see it?
I guess. It's another thing to do. Chalamayid.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But it would be amazing. But what could possibly go wrong?
Right.
And since this is our Purim episode, so this is a story that came out of Iran, and obviously we know that, you know, Shushan is in Iran.
Yeah, clearly. And
so the whole Megillas Esther took place in Iran.
You know, they have the burial plots of Mordechai and Esther.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. So they actually archaeologists found what is now being called the oldest known lipstick. It was found in Iran, and it's pretty amazing because it basically looks like lipstick from today. It was in a cylindrical holder that had, you know, this dyed Vaseline kind of consistency.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think they were putting lipstick on with bricks? I'm being serious. Like, obviously, it's going to be a small tube. It's for lips, right?
No, but you're not surprised to see that it looks just like a modern day lipstick?
Yeah, because some things just don't change, right?
Okay.
Things are what they are. Lipstick is just lipstick.
I don't know, when you're reading the Megillah and you're reading about, you know...
Beis Hanashim, this is probably where it came from.
Oh, interesting. Like part of the whole beauty pageant that was going on.
Yeah, that was a big... That was a big to-do.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're reading the Megillah, did you ever in your life, and you read about Vashti and Vashti dies... Oh, spoiler alert, sorry.
In case you haven't read the Megillah yet.
Vashti dies, and then they're looking for a new queen, etc. Did it ever cross your mind that they're putting makeup on these women?
What do you mean? It's straight out in the Megillah, right?
No, it says...
They spent six months just in oil.
In oil, right.
In oil.
But I wasn't thinking lipstick. I don't know.
But of course, they would dress up before they go like meet the king. Think of that. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of women meeting the king. They all were dressed up before. Like it was like a royal inspection. Like you can't go meet the king if you're not in tip-top shape.
Right. But full makeup. Full face of makeup.
Full face of makeup.
Nothing changes.
Yeah.
The irony of all of this is that, you know, makeup is actually illegal in Iran.
Really?
Yes.
So it was contraband. It's contraband. They recovered contraband.
Exactly.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? I mean, it's they don't enforce it as much on the general public these days, but if you're a government worker, it's still totally illegal and they do enforce it. So ironic that, you know, that's where they found it.
We are taking this matter very serious, but perobebedi came from the Jews. Wait, if you think about it, it probably did.
Probably did, yeah.
He's right? Kind of maybe it's Esther's wrong, lipstick.
Yeah,
who knows?
Could be. No, but yeah, but Esther was one of, like you said, thousands of women. How many of them were Jews?
The odds are not in our favor.
Exactly. Well, we hope everybody has an unbelievably uplifting Purim. We hope you enjoy with you and your family and your extended families.
Freilichen Purim, everybody. Don't forget to send us pictures of your costumes.
And of course, we want to thank our sponsor, HydraHealthIV.com. Make sure to check them out. Don't forget to use coupon code KC15 to get 15% off.
And we thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to join the WhatsApp group. You can do that either from the show notes or visit us at KiddishClubPodcast.com. Follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to support the cast by visiting buymeacoffee.com/Kiddish Club. Show your support for the cast, and until next time, Kiddish Club out.
And this episode is copyright Kiddish Club Media.